Hello, bold Americans. Buckle up, because this is an amazing interview with Michael Bednarik, one of the leading constitutional scholars in the entire country. And his words that he's going to offer over the next two podcasts, it's going to be a two-part series, are ones that you are not going to want to miss. His message is so vital and so important. This is a masterclass. I found myself not really doing an interview. I was just listening and taking it all in. So grab yourself a coffee or whatever drink you like. Sit back, relax, and enjoy America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network. Welcome back. If you're enjoying these episodes of America Emboldened, I want to hear from you. You can reach me on my Twitter at RealGregBolden, B-O-U-L-D-E-N, or at AmericaEmboldened at gmail.com. I'd love to hear more feedback. What type of guests do you want to have? What has been something you've learned on these episodes? Just looking to engage back with the people that are listening. Always happy to have conversations. That's what I enjoy most about this. This next interview, I tracked down all the way in Texas, Michael Bednarik. Now, Michael Bednarik is an absolute amazing, generous human being that has given over 30 years of constitutional study. But what I found was somebody who is much more cynical about the role of the Constitution in our citizens' lives and the state of our country. And I believe that we need to hear the warnings that he started in 2003 and where he believes things are now, if we hope to try to save our country. So this is a very important episode, as well as part two of this will be important, in order to find out what actionable steps can we take and can the country be saved, or are we too far gone? So let's go straight now to the interview with Michael Bednarik. Michael Bednarik has not been cheated of opportunity nor experience in his life. Not many can say that they ran for president of the United States of America, hosted a radio show, jumped out of perfectly good airplanes for fun, wrote books, and became known as the number one educator on the Constitution in North America. His books include Philosophical Lighthouse, Secret to Sovereignty, and Good to Be King, The Foundations of Freedom. In 2003, I was watching, Michael was teaching a constitutional study class. You can find this on archive.org. He had a binder in his hand of the information about the Constitution to his class, and he would bring a different binder to every single session, constantly being a scholar and updating. But something you would notice immediately was the American flag in 2003 was upside down, a symbol of distress. And today, almost 20 years later, I have the honor and the opportunity to have Michael on the phone with me to follow up. Where are we? Michael was ringing the alarm in 2003, and here we are in 2022, and the country is, I believe, in a lot of trouble, a crisis, beyond a crisis. So without further ado, Michael Bednarik, welcome to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden.
Well, thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
I'm thrilled to have you, because I believe that your work over the last 30 plus years in matters of the Constitution, might even be close to the 40 years now. I don't want to date it too much. I believe it's vital to be preserved in as many places as possible. You really are a beacon of light. You helped educate me and people that are near and dear to my heart as well in so many profound ways about my rights. In many ways, it's people like Ron Paul and yourself on why I moved over to the Libertarian Party, and I consider myself a libertarian in my beliefs, and I took the Constitution much more serious. First, it's just an honor. So thank you for agreeing to do this. I hope that we can capture for the audience some lasting thoughts of your career, as well as what message do you want to leave people with on the Constitution now, where we are, as I said, 20 years later, after you made those prophetic words of we are in distress. So let's start there. Where are we 20 years later?
Well, I had a severe heart attack and people would send me get well cards. And I'm flattered that anybody would take the time to lick a stamp and put it on an envelope. But a vast majority of those get well cards basically said, Michael, you can't die. It's your job to restore liberty. Unfortunately, that is the fundamental problem. People are not looking for a solution. They're looking for a savior. They want somebody to do it for them. Come, we're going to sit here on this sofa, watch TV, and eat ice cream while you personally go out and fix the problem. Call us when you get done. My response ever since then has been, when I die, liberty is no longer my problem. I've been trying for 30 years now to help people understand that they personally have to get involved. They personally have to understand what the Constitution says, what are the principles involved in creating what used to be the greatest country on earth. It is not anymore, but it used to be the greatest country on earth. If you're going to build a building, or let's say the Golden Gate Bridge, the Hoover Dam, you don't say, Greg, come on, grab a shovel. We're going to go dig and we'll pour some concrete and we'll figure it out eventually. You can't do that. Before you even start to pour concrete, you have to do probably years of engineering. You have to know how this thing is going to put together. And you have to understand why it is going to, you know, stay. And if you want to create a free country, then you have to understand the principles that are involved in making it that way. The founding fathers did that for us. They had studied history. They studied the Greeks, the Romans, every possible political entity prior to the 1700s. And many of those failed. Alexander the Great controlled almost all the world, and Rome fell. It's like, how could you be that big of an empire? How could you dominate the world and then collapse under your own weight? And it's basically hubris, assuming that, you know, we don't have to do anything. All we have to do is just be Roman. And so what has happened to America is that we came here, built the greatest country on earth. We were so happy, so privileged, so decadent that we got to the point where we went, I don't have to worry about it. All I have to do is grill hot dogs on the 4th of July, light off a couple of fireworks, and everything will continue all by itself. Well, that's not true. It's not true. And in most of my Constitution classes, I will ask the audience, the very first thing I ask is to please raise your hand if you are a good patriotic American. And no big surprise, it's unanimous. Every single person in the auditorium considers themselves to be a good patriotic American. Wonderful. Thank you. Raise your hand if you can tell me how many articles are in the Constitution. And nobody, I mean, every once in a while, I have a former student from my class who learned the answer, but except for anybody that's talked to me, nobody knows. And my third question is, well, hypothetically, if the United States government was doing something unconstitutional, how would you know? You haven't read the Constitution. In fact, you haven't even looked at the Constitution. You don't even know how many chapters there are. And that's why, because you have ignored your responsibility to defend the Constitution, that the government, not only in the Washington, D.C., but in every state capital, every county, every city and municipality, every level of government in the United States is now so corrupt that I can't imagine how you're going to fix it without a violent revolution. John F. Kennedy said one time, if you make peaceful revolution impossible, you make violent revolution inevitable. People will be free. And someone asked me about that quote, and I kind of translated it into a little bit more modern English, I would imagine. And I said, if the First Amendment doesn't work, the Second Amendment will. There are only two ways to get people to change their actions. And that's one, intellectual discussion. I go, Greg, I think you're wrong. This is how I see the world. And, you know, if we are having a logical, rational conversation, they'll go, oh, God, I didn't realize I was making a mistake. And you go, well, thanks. Let's do it that way. That's obviously much better. The other way, if intellectual discussion doesn't work, is violent. Is you are going to do it my way or I will kill you, period. Those are the only two choices. And we have gone so far beyond intellectual discussion. I have people call me all the time, Greg, Michael, all we have to do, and when they say all we have to do, they really mean all Michael has to do, is go across the country and teach X. This is the information that will solve the problem. Once Americans understand X, then all of our problems will go away. Well, that doesn't work. I've been teaching X. I've been teaching the Declaration, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. That is the answer. But nobody wants to listen. Participation in my Constitution class has diminished and dwindled away to the point where nobody wants to take my Constitution class. It's only $150. You get a hardcover book autographed by the author. And then after an 8 or 9 hour class, I go to a restaurant and I promise people, I mean, I'm going to sit at this restaurant. I'm hungry. I'm tired. But I can answer questions about the Constitution longer than you can ask. I have the answer. But you have to want the answer. And I have come to the sad conclusion is that Americans don't want the answer. They want to know how to fix it themselves. They want Michael to fix it. Michael should run for president. Michael should go to the White House. Michael should make all my troubles go away. And we'll vote for him and watch him on TV. That's impossible. I can't do it myself. Ron Paul could not do it himself. People were all excited about Ron Paul. They would say, all we have to do is get Ron Paul elected and all of our troubles will go away. Really? He's being elected president. He's not being elected dictator. Have you read the Constitution? No, we've made that apparent. And so a president has very little power, has some veto power, but Congress can come right back and override the veto. So except for jumping up and down, waving his arms, and having Ron Paul go, this is a bad idea, which he has done over and over and over again, it hasn't helped.
Michael, I would relate this for the audience as well. I'm also an educator. I teach audio, radio, video at a public high school. And I have students all the time. They'll come back to me after they've graduated and they'll say, I wish that I took this class more serious when I was in it. I wish I used all this millions of dollars of equipment that's in this room when I was here because I really fell in love with it after I left. And, you know, if it was up to the teacher, it was up to Ron Paul, it was up to you, it's up to me as an educator, then every single one of my students would come out and be a Hollywood director, be on the radio as an audio, radio, video educator. They would all just automatically get it and move up. And that is exactly the essence of what you're talking about. You have the information. You have people that have wanted to hear the information, but they've left it in your hands. They leave it in the hands of the expert and don't become experts themselves. And that is the perfect allegory for where we are as society. It's people that don't want to learn. I think you summed it up well. They want to have their hot dogs. They want their social media. There's no intellectual discretion anymore. You have Marjorie Taylor Greene, AOC. These are not intellectuals in the way that they use social media and further divide. They're not concerned about the Constitution. They're concerned about how many followers they have, how many listeners they have, and whether their brand is getting bigger as a congressperson. We are in real trouble from that perspective. We're kind of screwed, correct?
Oh, we are screwed, blued, and tattooed. I mean, the United States that I learned about when I was a boy no longer exists. In my book, Good to Be King, Chapter 6 talks about communism. Chapter 5 talks about different types of government. I mean, there are many, many types. Most of the governments across the world are socialist or communist. And I'll ask my students, should the United States be a socialist country? Should we be a communist country? And they all go, no, we should not. Why not? I mean, all those other countries can't be wrong, can they? And they know kind of deep down that we should not be a communist country, but they don't know why. They don't understand the fundamentals. And so Chapter 6 is about communism. Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels in the mid-1800s wrote a term paper. And the question was, if you could start from scratch, you know, clean slate and build up from there, what would you need in order to create the perfect communist country? And that's what the Communist Manifesto is. The Communist Manifesto is a short pamphlet. It doesn't take long to read. And inside it has 10 planks. We've got the 10 commandments. We've got the 10 Bill of Rights. Now we have the 10 planks for the communist, for a perfect communist country. And I go through all 10 planks, and my students are surprised to discover that all 10 of those are operational in the United States as we speak. They have been. The United States is not becoming a communist country. The United States is a communist country. And even more startling, it is a communist country because many, many, many Americans have voted for it. They went, yeah, that's what I want. And they pull the lever on, you know, election day, and they go, great, we are going to have subsidized housing. They're going to pay for my children's education. And all we got to do is raise taxes. Well, wait a minute. Who should pay for your children's education to begin with? Well, that should be you. And you've got this crazy idea that you're not going to have to pay for that because you voted for a bill that says the government is going to pay for. Where do you think the government is going to get the money? They're going to raise your taxes. So not only are you still paying for your own child's education, but now you've given the government another opportunity to skim off the top. You don't think they're going to take that money for education and use some of it for, you know, corruption and graft and then spend half of it? You would have been better off paying for your child's education. It boggles my mind. It's incredibly stupid. And for the most part, I've given up. I've tried for 30 years. I've dedicated 3 decades of my life to trying to save the United States. I was very naive. I told myself, I'm smart. In fact, I have this unique understanding. I understand the Constitution so well, perhaps I may be the best person in the United States. That's questionable, debatable, but I know it really well. And I thought, if I just taught America, look, this is all communism. We're in a bad way, that I would create this intellectual army, and that once Americans understood the problem, they would go, holy crap, we got to fix that. And that there would be this groundswell, this, you know, grassroots effort, like, no, we got to go back to the Constitution. Didn't happen. And it didn't happen because I was unwilling to teach. Didn't happen because I'm not a good teacher. I'm arrogant enough to think I'm the best teacher in the United States. But it happened because Americans don't care. They don't care. And that is the real tragedy in the United States, is that Americans don't care. They don't understand that liberty is their responsibility.
We're going to take a break here. I'm really trying not to ask a ton of questions of Michael, because he's just on a roll. He's given a masterclass during this time with him. So I hope you can appreciate, I haven't been injecting a ton of questions into the conversation, because I just find this to be a masterclass on the state of the country. And if you're listening to this, obviously you love the country, but what you can do to help spread the word is share this link via email, go to AmericaOutloud.com, share the link that way. Go on to Twitter. I'm at Real Greg Bolden, where you can retweet the article right there on all socials. If you just go America Emboldened with Greg Bolden, you can find it on every social media network. Just really important to get this message, Michael Bednarik's words, out there. So thank you so much. We're going to come right back after this break with more from Michael. You're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network.
People often ask me, Malcolm, how do we fight the corruption? Robert Frost has said it best, freedom lies in being bold. Well, for six incredible years, Bold is America Out Loud. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
While many things we hear are lies, we know one thing is true. Viruses exist and people get sick. Look, there's no guaranteed way to keep from getting sick, but there is a way to reduce your chances. Cofix RX, the original povidone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray that you hear Dr. McCullough talking about, provides an additional, invisible layer of protection from colds, flu, coronaviruses, and more. Click the banner ad on AmericaOutloud.com and use promo code OUTLOUD for 20% off. Stay protected with Cofix RX.
In 2008, the amount of concentrated time people could spend on a task without becoming distracted was 12 seconds. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds, 1 second less than a goldfish. If you find yourself always distracted or having trouble recalling information, you're likely to fall behind in the demanding, fast-paced 21st century. In other words, brain performance is more critical now than ever. Boost your brain power with Healthy Cells Focus Plus Recall. Science-backed nootropics to sharpen focus, concentrate longer, enhance recall, improve mental speed, learn rapidly, and be more alert. It's a pill-free brain supplement made with maximum absorption technology, designed to feed our brains at the cellular level. Take it for a test drive. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Focus Plus Recall. That's HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Here on America Out Loud, we emphasize optimal health, and air is the most essential element for life. The average person inhales over 35 pounds of air every day, yet we seldom think about how to rid the air of pathogens swiftly and safely when we need to. The Genesis Fogger Plus HOCL is the only way to quickly and naturally restore air to its optimal condition. Visit genesisfolger.com/outloud for a free ebook on everything you need to know about HOCL and receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Folger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next.
Welcome back to the interview with Michael Bednarik. Michael, I'm curious, what is the role of the Constitution? How is it supposed to protect Americans?
Everybody thinks that the Constitution is supposed to protect them. And I tell my students, if you want to know how much protection the Constitution will give you, take a copy of your Constitution and stand on the railroad tracks as a train is coming. And you hold that copy of the Constitution up in front of you. You know how much protection it's going to be? Zero. Nada. Nothing. That train is going to run you over and you don't exist anymore. What you fail to understand is it's not the Constitution's job to protect you. It's your job to protect the Constitution. Your job to make sure that the ideas in the Constitution, those principles in the Bill of Rights, are never, ever, ever violated. But if you don't read the Constitution, you don't know how many articles are in it, and you certainly are not capable of grasping the fundamental principles, and you go to the polls on election day and you vote for communism and you're not even smart enough to know that that's what you are doing. I quit. I cannot lead an army when the army will not follow me. If I wear a fuzzy hat and march down the middle of the street with a baton, if I don't have hundreds of people behind me, I am not a parade. I'm just an idiot wearing a fuzzy hat.
So, Michael, I think that one of the key things in our Constitution is the willingness to overthrow a government if a government is not representing the people, the willingness for violence. And that's the uncomfortable truth of our Constitution. It's the uncomfortable truth of living in a republic. And that's another thing. I think that we should talk about, we're in a republic, not a democracy. But in some way, shape, or form, people have ignored the fact that we're a republic for how they want to talk about the country. But I'm going to mention two big things in America. And this may be very unpopular among people that are Republicans when I say this. I think you and I would probably agree. I feel like you're... we're connected in some way in our conversations that we've had over the past couple of weeks. I think that from a philosopher standpoint, you and I would both look at something like Black Lives Matter, and we would look at something like the insurrection, I'm putting that in quotes, January 6th, and we would say, yes, people get it. They have a right to protest back against the government. And I'm one of those people, I wasn't horribly upset at either event. Black Lives Matter, if you believe strongly in your heart that your government is not doing enough to protect your individual liberty, you better be willing to hop into the streets. And I think that shows, and you can tell me where I'm wrong on this, but I think that shows that there were people, maybe they didn't understand there was the Constitution behind them, but I feel like we should have probably understood that moment in a constitutional sense more than people did. Instead, we have people that criticized reactions. January 6th was a boiling up of what happened during COVID. It was government overreach, shutting down people's lives, completely destroying an economy, forcing vaccines with experimental mRNA in the people when there was no justification at the time. And as science comes out, there really doesn't seem like there's still justification. I personally speaking, I don't think you can ever justify forcing something into somebody's body. But through the lens of Black Lives Matter, January 6th and this uprising, people upset, were we seeing people finally upset with government in both those cases? What's your take on that?
Well, I'm not upset with them, but I think they missed the point. You know, focusing on half of the problem is not going to solve the problem. Let's ask the question, do Black lives matter? Well, yes. And yellow lives matter, and white lives matter, and life matters. And what has happened, and it's focusing on only Black lives misses the point. Yes, I agree. Black lives matter. I carry a gun. I carry a 45 caliber semi-automatic with 240 grain hollow points. I am famous for being to hit my target 50 times out of 50 times. I'm not going to miss you. If I pull the trigger, you are dead. I carry my gun to, well, protect myself, but I also protect anybody in a 50-100 foot radius. I mean, there could be somebody in a grocery store who is suddenly being attacked. I don't know them. I've never met them. I've seen them for like 5 seconds. And if somebody is trying to kill them, I will protect them. I will shoot the murderer. Every life matters. And that's where Americans have gone wrong. We no longer care about life. We like abortion. Oh, gosh. That's a woman's right. I mean, she has her body, blah, 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 blah. And so we are killing infants before they're born and sometimes within a few days after they're born. How can you justify that? How, really? You think that's okay? And we have, you know, old people and we're, you know, going, well, you're old, you had a good life, you know, here, take this morphine and you don't have to live anymore. Well, if we don't value other people's lives, which is what's happened, we started out when I was growing up, my father went to work and he always worked two jobs because my dad was a blue collar worker. He didn't make a lot of money. So Mom and Dad had three boys. I'm only, quote unquote, 6 foot tall, but my brothers were 6 foot seven and 6 foot four. My mother said that we ate like locusts. She would cook all day. We would come home from school and 15 minutes later, there was no food. It's gone. I don't know how my mother and father fed us. But that was my dad's responsibility. His job was to be the provider and the disciplinarian. Mom's job was to stay home and teach us the values and skills that we needed to be good, functional adults. But then the government went, you know, we're getting taxes from the men, but we're not getting taxes from the women. We could like double the amount of money we got coming in. And so they create this women's movement, Gloria Steinem. Oh my God, girls, what makes you think that men are better than girls? You girls can go and have a career also. So women left the house and now mom and dad are both working. We had children growing up known as latchkey children. And, you know, they're, you know, 10, 12 years old. You make another house key for the kids. And when they get home at 3 o'clock from school, they can unlock the door and sit and watch television, you know, eat ice cream and be unsupervised at home until either mom and or dad get home. Okay. But then because we're taking so much more in taxes, mom and dad have to work. It's not just a luxury. They have to work. So what we have done is destroy the family unit. Who's taking care of the children? Who's teaching the children to be good? We're not. And so the children are being raised. There's a old story about children being raised by wolves. They're not even being raised by wolves. Wolves have some rules. You got to be a good wolf. And children who are left unsupervised do not grow up to know the rules. They don't follow the rules. They start taking drugs because nobody's watching them. And now they're making money. And in order to keep making money, they start killing people. And now you have people get guns and they're crazy lunatics on these psychotropic drugs that people give them because, oh, he has PTSD or whatever the other one is. And if you stop taking the drugs, you're prone to suicide. And so somewhere along the line, they take the drugs, stop taking the drugs, prone to suicide, walk into a high school with a rifle and kill 16 people. That's why it happens. Not because we have more guns in this society. It's because we Americans no longer value life. So you can't fix the problem with one more gun law. If intellectual discussion was going to fix it, we would have fixed it a long time ago. Intellectual discussion will no longer work. And you are absolutely right. And I know your audience is not going to want to hear this, but there is no peaceful option left. How are we going to save America with more bumper stickers, yard signs? Sending a good person to Congress is like sending a virgin to a whorehouse to try to reform the place. It's not going to work. King George did not listen.
We
tried to explain it to him. We tried to throw tea into the harbor. That didn't work. And finally, we wrote the Declaration and said, the political ties with England are gone. We are no longer, you know, take your job and shove it. We are now the United States, and we are going to fight for our independence. And they were fighting against the most powerful army and navy in the world. That looked like suicide. But we eat hot dogs and light firecrackers because, oh my gosh, weren't the founding fathers great? You don't know. You don't know the founding fathers. You don't know what they did. You don't know what they sacrificed.
Michael, as a teacher, I often have, at the beginning of the day, the Pledge of Allegiance. Now, there's an announcement made at the beginning of every year in our public schools that it's a constitutional right. They do not need to stand for the pledge. They do not need to say it. But what I've noticed in my time in education over the past 20 years, I've gone from the entire class standing with me reciting the Pledge of Allegiance to only having one student or two students out of 20 to 30. How do you feel about the fact that the patriotic feeling about the Pledge of Allegiance and the fact that most are unwilling to stand or recite it? Do you have a problem with that? Like, do you see it as part of the larger?
No, rules? Not really. I don't have a problem with it. I have a problem with the pledge. The Pledge of Allegiance was written by a socialist. And it includes the phrase indivisible. In other words, we are the United States and you can't leave. There was a huge battle in North America in between 1861 and 1865. Most Americans refer to it as a civil war, but it wasn't. A civil war is conflict within one nation. And that is not what happened. We had the southern states secede. They left the United States. So it was an international war between the United States of America in blue in the north and the Confederate States of America in gray in the north. That's an international battle. People will further argue that, no, the Civil War proves that you are not allowed to secede. The Southern states were not allowed to secede. Really? Have you heard of the Declaration of Independence? Oh, yeah. Do you like that document? Yeah, one of my favorites. The Declaration of Independence is a secession document. We told England, we quit, we leave, we are no longer a part of England. We are now the 13 colonies, we are now the United States of America. So pick one. Tell me that the Southern states could and did secede, and you can have your Declaration of Independence. If you insist that the Southern states could not secede, that that is immoral, illegal, and against the law, then burn the Declaration and start yelling, "Hail to the Queen." You can't have it both ways. If the Southern states can't secede from the U.S., the U.S. can't secede from England. And this just explains the lack of education in America. People have no clue. It's a syllogism. It sounds good. It sounds logical, but it's not true. You are believing something that is a lie. And because of that, they go, "Hey, do you want to have the government pay for your children's education?" Yes. Do you understand how that works? No. So then we're going to rob you blind. Okay.
So
I'm not a huge fan of Winston Churchill. He did some things I'm not very pleased with, but I find the truth. I don't care who said it. You know, if it was Snoopy, I will quote Snoopy because it's the truth. And Winston Churchill said, if you are 20 years old and you are not a socialist, then you have no heart. If you're still a socialist when you're 40 years old, you have no brain. Socialism sounds wonderful. Free education, free housing, the government's going to take care of us. Yes, yes, that's what I want. Good, and we're going to take everything you own to pay for it. No, no, you can't take everything I own. Well, how else are we going to do it, you numbskull? My father would say, you have shit for brains. When my father yelled at us, oh my God, and I tell people about my childhood, and they go, oh my God, did your parents beat you? And I say, only once. And when I woke up, I firmly committed to the idea that I was never going to do that again. My parents may be the last two people on earth who taught their children the difference between right and wrong. My mother taught me as I was growing up, Michael, you always do the right thing. No matter how difficult it is, you always do the right thing. Always. Okay. So I moved to Texas. My very first campaign was for state representative. It was just a paper candidate. I just wanted to get the ideas about libertarian and constitution out. So I was the candidate. I was the treasurer. I was the webmaster. If I didn't do it, it didn't get done. Now, because I'm officially a candidate, my name is in the newspaper, they had a Second Amendment rally at the Austin Capitol. And so the Republican candidate got up and said, we only want to pass rational gun laws. The Democratic candidate got up and said, well, we don't want to pass gun laws too quickly. And Michael got up and said, 23,000 gun laws in the United States are unconstitutional. And I will not give up my guns to any federal, state, or county authority, period. And the police officers who are supposedly protecting the Capitol turned around and looked at me. It's like, did he say that out loud? I said, I'll shoot and kill police officers. Don't take my guns. So I came home and my mom is all proud. Oh my gosh, her boy is talking in front of the Capitol. Michael has to be very important. He's making speeches. He's a politician. Guys, mama, not a politician. I'm a statesman. I have principles. And so she said, well, what did you say? And I told her. That was a mistake. I was a little naive. But my mom said, oh, Michael, the government is going to come and pick you up. I said, really? Is the government, are you afraid for my safety because the government is going to come and pick me up? We have a benevolent government and they are going to throw me in jail because they love me? No. I said, who taught me? When I was growing up, who taught me that I should always do the right thing, no matter how difficult it was? Who taught me that, Mom? You want me to always do the right thing? And now the government is violating the Constitution. They're violating the Second Amendment. They are a communist country. And you want me to sit back and let someone else do it? Too late. I can't. I won't. I tried. I gave it everything I have. I don't know how I could have tried harder. I don't know how I could have worked longer. But I failed. I can't build a pyramid all by myself. It's going to take we the people. But we don't have we the people. We have United States citizens who are legally slaves to the Congress. Most people don't know this, but you can't do anything. We the people have a right to travel. A United States citizen is obligated to get a birth certificate. We the people can keep and bear arms, which is their natural inherent right. A United States citizen has given up all their rights in exchange for possible government privileges. So if you're a United States citizen, you're obligated to get a concealed carry permit before you may or may not be able to carry a gun. And people say, you don't have a permit? No. And you still carry a gun? Yes. How do you do that? Like, how do you get away with that? Or I'm insulted by that question because the question implies that I'm the guy doing something wrong. I'm not doing something wrong. The law is wrong. It's an unconstitutional law and I'm not going to follow it. You can kill me, but you can't scare me. And I asked him, do you have a church permit? No. And you've never filled out a form, a government form that allows you to go to church on Sunday? No, never heard of it. I don't know what you're talking about. Well, if you don't need a church permit, what makes you think I need a Second Amendment permit? They both work the same way. They were both ratified on March 15th, 1791. How are they different? They're not. Black Lives Matter, yeah. How are they different? They're not. Well, they are different because they have, I admit, been subjected to just unbelievable bigotry, slavery. Really? I was a Boy Scout for 12 years. I would march in the parade several times a year, 4th of July, Veterans Day, Flag Day, you name it. I was in my uniform carrying the American flag. I was so proud of the United States that I would cry. I would cry because I realized I was lucky enough to be born in the best country in the world. Oh my goodness. We would go on vacation every summer and we were in the Southeast. I don't remember what state, Georgia, Florida, South Carolina. I don't remember. We pulled into a gas station and I walked into the gas station to go to the bathroom and there were two white drinking fountains on the wall. You know, your typical drinking fountain. And there was a sign above the water fountains that said, whites only. Whites only? Like white drinking fountains only? You don't have an aluminum, we're not going to allow an aluminum drink? I don't understand. And I was asking my mom, I'm like, what does that mean? When she told me that black people are not allowed to take a drink of water on a hot day, I cried. How is that possible? How is it possible in the greatest country in the world that black people cannot drink water? If that doesn't make, if that makes sense to you, you bigot, oh my God, you are the one who should be shot. We have lost touch with the principles in the Constitution. Nobody's read the Declaration of Independence. You are voting for socialism and you got what you voted for. I don't even feel sorry for you.
It's a lot to process what Michael Benaric just shared with us. We're going to pause here and pick up the second half of the interview tomorrow. I thank everybody for tuning in today. Feel free to reach me on socials at RealGregBolden or email AmericaEmboldened@gmail.com. Hope everybody is having a great day. Thanks for tuning in on America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network. Be bold, America.